In the second chapter is where we'll be reading from this morning while you pray for us for a few minutes of time. I said on Wednesday night that today's message may be one that will take about 2 hours. One, to get everybody back in fellowship with God because you've been away from Him so long. And two, to get our people right. But I won't be before you that long this morning. I don't want to weigh on your patience today, but I want to follow the Lord in our message this morning. I preached this message many years ago, and it came to my heart yesterday, and I want to try to share it with you again today. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you if we all just do what God lays upon our hearts. Book of Mark, second chapter, starting at verse 1 down through and including verse 5. Everybody's found it? It says in verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised about that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And when he preached a word unto them, and they came, come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And stop reading there at verse 5. And some of you may remember this message. And I like to use for a text today, when God is in the house. When God is in the house. How many of you know great things can happen when God is in the house? When He is in the house, everything is all right. Because there is nothing that He cannot take care of. And when He is there, there is hope for our people that are away from God. There is hope for those that are lost and undone. And we know that no matter what we stand in need of, He said, if we will just ask, when God is in the house, we can receive it today. When we look at this story and what had happened, this was a time unlike other times when Jesus was in Capernaum. It was different. One of the studies that I read about said that this may have even been the house where Peter lived at. And it was different because in times past, you know, according to Scripture, that often when Christ was in that city, He would go and visit with them and stay in their house. But this time was different. It was different because it became noised about. The people began to share with one another. Guess who's over at Peter's house? And when they would respond, they would hear the answer come that it was none other than Jesus Christ Himself. And when they heard that, many of them probably reflected on the news that they had heard about the miracles being performed. Or maybe at this time their hearts were softened and they finally gave in to what their spirit had spoken to them, and they made their way over to Peter's house to see what was happening on the other side of town. When they got there, the Bible says that it was that He was in the house, and straight away that many came together, insomuch that there was no room, even to the door. The house was filled. Could you imagine this? A house so filled that there wasn't room for one more person to get in the door. And it wasn't because Peter was at home, or his wife, or even his mother-in-law was there. But there was somebody in the house that was even greater than these. And His name was Jesus Christ. When they heard that He was there, they all that believed upon him or wanted to see him. You know, some went, no doubt, just to see him. Some went, no doubt, just to see if a miracle was going to be performed. Or maybe some even went because they needed a miracle. But I believe that there were some that went just to hear a word out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Because when he spoke, it was like none other. You remember the scripture says, never man spake like this man. How many of you remember when the Lord speaks to your heart, the voice that comes by your way, that no matter who else is there, no matter what everybody else might be saying, it's a voice that speaks to you. And when he speaks, you know that everything you have need of is about to be taken care of. Amen. The Bible says that there was no room. You know, that's a good problem to have. Unlike a few weeks ago when we preached in a message about no room, because the world didn't have room for the baby to be born in their city. Reminds us a lot of today, does it not? But thank God, the Lord knew there was a manger there for his son to be born in. Brother Sterling Bolin used to say in his messages about that it only makes sense that God had to go to the stable one more time to get that perfect lamb to pay a sin debt that you and I owed. In verse 3 it says, when they got there, they found that there was something happening. He wasn't necessarily touching eyes that needed to see, or legs that needed to walk, or hands that needed to be corrected, or tongues that needed to be loosed, but he was preaching the word unto them. How many of us today know that when the word of God is preached in its power and its purity, that great things can happen in the midst of the house of God? Those that come to hear a word, and I believe that Lloyd says this in Sunday school often, that we ought to come ready to receive what God has prepared for us. That we see that they come there and he preached the word unto them. And I don't believe that he sugarcoated the word, do you? I believe he told them exactly the way that it should be. And maybe he told them to repent, for you're all sinners and need to be saved. Maybe he preached to them about being sent from his Father, which is in heaven. That he did not come for earthly fame or fortune, but he come that sinners might be able to go to heaven when they leave this sin-filled world. There was preaching that took place. And I believe with all my heart today, if our people ever get right, it's going to take a message sent from God right to their hearts and their lives to get them to where they need to be. Some of our people need to be humbled this morning. Some of them need their eyes open to see the situations that they're in, because they cannot tell how bad it is because the devil's got them blinded. There's some today that they hear that God is in the house and that messages are being preached, and they say it's just another service. It was just another service the night that I got saved. But it was a special service for me, because the word was preached and I believed upon the word. In order to get saved, you have to believe the preached word of Jesus Christ. And because the word was preached here, the Bible says that there was many that wanted to hear it. I wish our people had a desire to hear the preached word of God again. Not to have their ears tickled. Not to have some type of motivational speech or some type of self-realization talk that is taking place in so many pulpits today, but an old-fashioned word from God. How many of you got saved by an old-fashioned word from God? It went out and it accomplished much because it was preached. And it went out seasoned with the Holy Spirit that touched your heart and your life. And church, when we know that God is going to be in the house, we have work to do. Every one of us has got a job to do in the house of the Lord. Not just one, but some have got multiple jobs to do. God is depending upon us to do our part. Because when he's in a house, he needs every one of his children working together that we might see others get in before it's too late. Look at what happened in this message today. When this man that had the palsy, he was a paralytic. He couldn't walk. He had no way. When he heard about Jesus being in town, he had no way of getting to the house where he was at. Maybe he was one of those that sat by the wayside and said, I'd like to go over there to where he's at and hear what he has to say. Maybe he was one like the one that was there at the troubling of the water, and Jesus said, will you be also get into the water? And he says, I can't, because every time I go to get in, somebody gets in before me and they get the healing. Folks, it don't matter how many is in the house. When the Lord is in the house, we all can receive what we stand in need of. We come in here today with many different needs. Some that are brokenhearted. Some that are burdened down. Some that need their needs met. Some that just want to hear a word from God that they might be able to rejoice today. Because rejoicing is good. Amen. You talking about forgetting about all your pains and heartaches and your sorrows? Let the Lord come by in a mighty way, and all those things will dissipate from your mind. When God is in the house, there is peace that surpasses all understanding. When God is in the house, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know about you, but there is nothing in this world that compares to the joy I have when God is in the house. He gives me great joy. And there is no other place that I'd rather be than in a house of the Lord when he is in the appearance today. The Bible teaches us that there was those four men. And I say four men. It could have been two men and two women. It could have been three women and one man. I don't know. It just says that there was four of his friends. You say, how do you know that they was his friends? Because they took the time out to help him in time of need. Church, if I can preach to us this morning, when we see those that are in need, we ought to take time to stop and help them along the journey. How many of us has been helped along our journey, that somebody took time out? Maybe it was with a visit that they stopped by. Maybe it was with things that they brought that they knew that you had need of. But this morning I want to say that the greatest need that there is met when friends take time out to get down upon their knees and call upon God for their brother or sister that has a need. Because even though they may be at their homes where they reside, how many of you know that God can be in the house that you live in as well as in the church house? Has anybody else felt the presence of God come into your house? Some of you are afraid to help me this morning. When you feel that God is in the house, you know everything is going to be all right. These four friends that knew, I believe this man that had the palsy had a desire to get to where Jesus was at. Or maybe he was one that the four friends said, we're going over to Peter's house. We're going over there where Jesus is at in town, and we're going to see what's happening. Jeff sings a song similar to that every once in a while for us. And when they saw that this man couldn't make it, Maybe they just said, we'll take you with us. And the four of them picked up his bed and carried him across town to where Jesus was at. It could have been across the street. We don't know where it was. But nobody else took time to take this man with them. There's a message in that for us as brothers and sisters in the church that we need to be inviting people to the house of God. How many of you know God shows up in this house? And when he shows up, can you think of anything better than having your people come out to where God is at so they can receive what they stand in need of? These four friends grabbed that bed and they took it to where the house was at. When they got there, I want to preface this morning, there was obstacles along the way. You know, God never promised us that the road would be easy. But he did say, wherever you go, I'll go with you. And I'll make a way where there seemeth not to be a way. They carried that bed. Don't know how far, but they carried that man that had the palsy all the way to the house where Jesus was at. And then when they got there, they found out the crowd was so big they couldn't get in the door. That would have stopped most of us that two stops already. We see them up on their bed, Jeff, we would have said, there's no way we can get them there. I've had some that I've talked to that's been sick. And they're confined to a wheelchair or to a walker. And when I would talk to them, they say, I just have no way of getting into the house of God. And I would say to them, you show up and you send the word into the house, and we will send some men down there, and we will push you up in a wheelchair into the house of God. If they have enough desire to get here, we ought to have enough desire to get them into the house of God. If they have I got to preach this morning. If they have enough desire to come in the door and sit upon one of these pews, we ought to have enough desire to lift up the name of Jesus Christ so that they might receive what they stand in need of. They got to the house, Sharon, and the crowd was so big they couldn't get in the door. Here in this second problem, many of us would probably say, well, we've done our best. Let's turn around and go back to the house. But instead of that, they went up to the roof. Now, their roofs weren't like ours. They were flat roofs, and most of them had a doorway to where they could go up there. They had side railings around their house because the roof of the house also served as a place for the family to go up there and use it. They would use it maybe for dinner time when the cool of the day to go up there to get out of the house. They would go up on the roof and have their dinner. Other times they would use it for making sure that everything was all right, that the enemy wasn't coming. But when they got up to the roof, look at this. They found out the door was too small to get into the house. So what they did, what they could have done is said, we tried. If they'd been modern day Baptists, that's what they would have done. In fact, they would have stopped at the house where the man was at. But instead of stopping, they began to take up part of the roof, began to tear it apart, got an opening big enough. Well, this will preach this morning. Got an opening big enough that they could lower that bed. I ask, where did they get the rope from? They got the bed all the way up on the roof. Maybe they had to get some more help. But see, they was determined, church. They wanted this man to get to where Jesus was at because they knew if they could get him to where Jesus was at, he could be made whole. So they tore up the roof and they lowered him down from the roof into the house. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, I don't believe they had to get him all the way in the house, but when he saw their faith, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, if only we could see the importance of getting our people to where Jesus is at. I'm going to preach this morning. He's not out there in mainstream America. He is not out there on the street corners. He is not out there in the hell holes of America. Where he is at is in the hearts of his children. And when his children get together, God is in the house. And great things can happen. Great things can happen today. When we see all that they went through, we see that it was big enough that any of these obstacles could have stopped them along the way. Now, this is the way God put it up on my heart, so I want to share it with you. How many of you have got friends or loved ones that are sitting at the house with all kinds of reasons why they cannot get to the house where God is at? How many of us today? You know what they did? Instead of letting that stop them, they got some others together. Maybe it was one who had the great desire to help this friend get to where Jesus was at, and he solicited others to come and help. This morning, many of you, I know by the raising of your hand and by the testimonies that you've had in past and by prayer request, that we've got folks that are sitting along the roadside that need to get to the house where God is at. Many of them will not come in on their own. Oh, I got to slow down. Many of them have every reason in the world why they cannot make it to the house of God. I've talked with several, and some of them say, Sunday's my only day to rest. It's my day to sleep in. It's my day just to sit back and do nothing. Some of them say, Roger, when I get a little older, maybe I'll start going to the house of the Lord. Some of them say, when I have a little bit more time, then I'll start. You know what I believe? They're all afraid that when they get here, God's going to show up and speak to their heart, and they're going to have to do something with God. I believe with all my heart that they know that there is a supreme being sitting in the halls of heaven that's looking down upon their lives where they're at, and they know that they need to get right, but they won't allow themselves. The devil gives them every reason in the world not to go to the house of God. But these four men, and this is my message this morning, these four men, when they knew that God was in the house, they took it upon themselves to carry him to the house of God. So you say, I thought it was Peter's house. Anywhere God is, it's a house of God. Amen. So how many of y'all been shouting in your kitchen or your living room or maybe even the bedroom or out in the garage or in the laundry room? It don't matter where you're at when God shows up. This morning, we're going to have an altar of prayer. And this is the altar of prayer that God has laid upon my heart, and I want to share it with you. Had these four men not taken the time to carry this man that had the palsy to where Jesus was at, he may have never received the miracle that he needed. How many of you have got loved ones that need a miracle this morning? Raise your hands in the house of God. How many of you, if your loved one was sitting on the side of the road, would take time to bring them to the house of God? In fact, some of us, if our loved ones was to call and say, can you give me a ride to church this Sunday morning? Well, our hearts would leap with joy and we would almost shout just to hear the request. Am I not preaching the truth? Some of them, if they would show up, it would probably startle us. I've heard some people say, Ray, if I was to go to church, the roof would fall in. But you know what I believe? The roof may fall in, but they will find a God that is able to resurrect their dead bodies and give them life like they've never experienced it before. So this morning, and this is a good revival message, I ask, how many of you would be willing to bring, to help carry your loved ones to an altar of prayer and bow down and pray with them? I don't believe there's one in the house that would be too backward or too shy or too embarrassed to get up and go to an altar. If one of your loved ones walked down the aisle to where the altar is at, you would run down the way to get down there and pray with them and ask God to save them, ask God to heal them, ask God to restore them back in fellowship. Is this not true this morning, church? So I'm going to ask every one of us, when God is in the house, we have to do our part. Many of you are shaking your head, yes. You know what the song says? Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. How many of you on this Sunday morning are bold enough, like these four men? How many of us are concerned enough like these four men? How many of us have love enough like these four men that we will look to our neighbor sitting next to us, look to our spouse, look to a friend and say, would you help me take my loved one to the Lord? How many of us know he's in the house today? How many of us would be willing to say, Lord, I need help getting them to you? Now, this may sound strange, and I've never done this as far as I know, Brother Ron. But I've got loved ones that need to be taken to the house where God is at. I've got friends that need to be taken to the house where God is at. When the Lord is in the house, there is nothing too big or anything too small that we can ask him for. So at this time, we're not going to have a song like we normally do, an invitation, but this is the way God put it upon my heart. I'm going to get Becky, and we're going to carry some of my loved ones to this altar. You say, but they're not here. We can take their names before an almighty God. You say, but Roger, I don't have anybody here to walk with me. Raise your hand. We'll get somebody to walk with you. You've got help in the house of God. And you say, but you're not big enough. I know, but I feel the presence of God. And he is able to help you today. He'll come to where you're at and take your hand and walk every step of the way down the aisle. If you've not got anybody with you and you're concerned about people that are lost, people in your family that are away from God, people that need a miracle, take hold of a neighbor. How many of you are going to join me this morning? I'm going to get mine and take them before God. And you say, but they're not here. God can speak to them wherever they're at and get their attention. You may have never heard a message like this one. I just got to follow God. He said, bring your burdens to the Lord. Give them to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we give it to God. Amen. Let's pray. Beck, come on. Thank you. Amen. Amen. The Lord teaches us that if we'll do our part, He is faithful to do His part today. Amen. When God is in the house. Oh, if only we could realize the power we have in His name today. God bless each and every one of you this morning. Let's come back tonight at 6 o'clock expecting great things to happen. Bring somebody with you. If you can't bring them in person, you can certainly bring them in heart. Amen. And call out upon God to speak to their life. God bless you today. I'm done.